We appreciate Brother Brown directing our singing this morning. We also appreciate the scripture lesson by Brother Gary Davis and the prayer led by Brother Melvin Motley. It's good to see each of you here this morning. I know most of us are probably still on a spiritual high from last week's series of gospel meetings with Brother Edward Robinson from Terrell, Texas. Brother Robinson did an outstanding job. Amen. The church was edified and blessed and challenged by his lessons. And he texted me yesterday evening when he made it home. They made it home safely, and again he expresses his appreciation for having been invited to come and to share with us. Their stay was very meaningful and very enjoyable. They were very impressed with the gracious hospitality extended to them by the members of the Hart Street Church of Christ. Those of you who did not take advantage of the opportunity to be here at every session, you really missed out. You certainly would have been blessed if you attended some of the sessions, and you would have been doubly blessed that you attended all of the sessions. If you were prevented from attending any of the sessions, we want to remind you again that you can listen to the lessons online at our website, and it's not too late to put in a request for CDs of the lessons as well. Nobody enjoys good preaching any more than I do. I think that a number of us, I think probably all of us, enjoy and like listening to good preaching. We just had a continual feast in listening to good preaching. When you follow the kind of meeting that we have experienced this past week, ask yourself, what can I best say on the Sunday morning following such a meeting? I think that I have hit upon a relevant way to answer that question. That is found in our lesson text that was read by Brother Gary Davis. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 33. Ezekiel, prophet of God, prophesied during the Babylonian exile. He prophesied in an evil time, when God's people were characterized by a spirit of rebellion and a spirit of boldness, a spirit of insolence, as is indicated in our text. But I want you to turn with me briefly before we go to chapter 33 to verse number 2. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Chapter 2, verse number 1. And we want to talk to you using the specific title of our lesson, Simply Doing Something About It. Doing something about it. Ezekiel chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, we see God giving Ezekiel his commission. And we find that Ezekiel would be delivering the word of God to a tough audience, a rebellious audience, a self-willed audience. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Then I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even until this very day. God's people and their fathers had exemplified a spirit of rebellion and of transgression against God. He said, for they are impudent children, and furthermore, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, you shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. And then verse number 8, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. I think it's very clear what the message is about the kind of people that Ezekiel would be speaking the word of the Lord to. And he said to Ezekiel, now, I don't want you to be rebellious like they have been rebellious. I want you to speak exactly what I tell you to speak. I want you to internalize my word, and I want you to speak my word to the people. All of us can testify to the fact that the word was spoken during this entire series of meetings, and many of us listened attentively. We listened with great anticipation and great joy each time a lesson was delivered. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen. But we need to be concerned as well, all of us, about taking the message seriously and doing something about the word that we have heard. And certainly, a number of meaningful, relevant, challenging truths were presented in this special series of gospel meetings. We do not want to be characterized by the attitude and the spirit that we see described in Ezekiel chapter 33. Notice verse number 30. Notice verse number 30, and consider the conversation. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. So these individuals invited folk to come and hear the word that came from the man of God. And that is a good thing. It's good to invite people to hear the word that comes from the Lord. So invitations were extended to come and sit with the congregation and listen to the message, listen to the words that would come flowing from the lips of God's prophet. Verse 31 says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So he's saying that these folk listen to what the man of God had to say, and they heard the words that were spoken. And he said that their mouths showed much love, but their hearts went after covetousness. We don't want this to be descriptive of us. Turn to Matthew chapter 15, please, a passage with which many of us are familiar. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. This is Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's a good thing to draw nigh unto the Lord with our mouths and to honor the Lord with our lips. But we need to put our hearts where our mouths are. We need to validate what we say with our mouths and with our lips by having genuine, authentic hearts of sincerity and commitment. These particular people of whom the Lord spoke, he says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And if our hearts are not in our worship, if our hearts are not in harmony with our words spoken by our mouths and with our lips, then we still stand condemned before God. You know, the word is wonderful. The word is powerful. The word is enriching. The word is cleansing. The word is saving. but it won't enrich us, it won't strengthen us, it won't edify us, it won't bless us, it will not save us unless and until we not only hear the word, but until we become doers of the word, practitioners of those things which we have heard. So the clarion call today is to act upon the words we have heard. It's to put into practice the principles that have been shared and articulated by the great messenger of God. And I know that would please him, and that would please God, that would please us if we take the word of God seriously and actually implement it in our lives. Turn to James chapter 1, and we are just revisiting this particular passage. James gives his dissertation on being doers of the word. Chapter 1 and verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness or rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's a wonderful thing to hear. It's a wonderful thing to listen. But James challenges us to not be content with just hearing, but implement in action what you have heard. He goes ahead to say, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed, or shall be blessed in his doing. It has been well said that when all is said and done, there's a whole lot more said than done. When it comes to religion, we have hearing religion, we have knowing religion, we have talking religion, and then we have doing religion. It's easy to hear. It is easy to know, but it is more difficult to be doers, to actually put into practice what God's word requires. You know, it's easy to condemn gossiping, but it's much more challenging to refrain from gossiping. It's easy for us to understand and to express biblical principles against jealousy and envy, but it's a lot more difficult to put those principles in practice. It is easy to decry and condemn covetousness, but to actually refrain from engaging in the practice of covetousness is very challenging. It's easy for us to understand the Great Commission and the need and requirement to do personal evangelism, but it is a lot more difficult to learn how to effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost. It's more challenging to be a doer rather than just a hearer or just a knower. It is mandatory that we be doers of the Word of God and not just hearers of the Word of God. In being doers, that's where the blessing comes in. I have no doubt that we have been blessed, we have been edified, we have been encouraged, we have been challenged, but you're going to be sure enough blessed if you recognize what has been said and then dig down deep and implement those things in practice in your lives. It will improve all of our relationships. It will improve and enrich our spiritual vitality. It will strengthen our unity. It will activate a spirit of action and obedience and work for the Lord, if we will take it seriously. In Matthew 23, in verse number 3, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, or with reference to the scribes and Pharisees, to those in his audience, he said, "Whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." He said, "They sit in Moses' seat, and whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do," because those guys know what they are talking about. He said, "Whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye according to their deeds, for they say and do not." And we don't want to embrace that particular lifestyle or that particular concept or spirit that was demonstrated by them. Jesus asked in Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" In Matthew 7:21, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." In John chapter 17, after Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, John 13, verse number 17, he said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Doing something about the word that you heard. You know, we can listen till we're blue in the face, but if we don't ever act upon what we have heard, we are not really blessed. And the unfortunate thing is that some of us will be lost after having heard thousands of sermons. Some of us will be lost after having attended thousands of Bible classes. Some of us will be lost after enjoying great preaching. Some of us will be lost even after providing good, sound, biblical answers to questions in Bible class, because we will have neglected to implement biblical teaching in our lives. So the description that the Lord gives of the audience of Ezekiel should not be characteristic of us. In verse number 32, he says, "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." Let's determine that we're going to be practitioners of the word that we have heard. We'll be better, we'll be richer, we'll be stronger, we'll be more unified. As the people of God, we will be more effective as a congregation of God's people when we always commit ourselves to doing something about the word that we have heard. If you're here today and you recognize the need to respond to the word in a gesture of obedience, we'd like you to take advantage of that opportunity. If you're not a Christian, become one. You've heard the gospel of Christ probably numerous times. Are you ready to do something about it now? Are you ready to obey it now? Jesus died for you and me, for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He arose again the third day. This is the good news of the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. There's no need to put it off further. There's no need to wait any longer. It was not done last week. But it can be done today. This is the beginning of a new week. This is the first day of the week. This is an opportune time to render obedience to the gospel. Maybe you're here and you know that you stand a guilty distance from the Lord. You know that you are already a child of God, but you know that you've not been faithful. Are you ready to do something about it today? If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to acknowledge your sin, if you're willing to pray and to have others pray for you that you might be forgiven and healed, you can do something about it today. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be apprehensive. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Don't vacillate or equivocate. Just go ahead and do something about it today. Don't worry about what the person next to you or behind you or in front of you might think, say, or do. You just do what you know you need to do. Out of a heart of commitment, out of a heart of loyalty, out of a heart of love for God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Will you do something about it as we together stand and as we sing?
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. Oh, when the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. My name, well, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere.